AutoFinancing.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
This is Free America broadcasting on the Rod Echols Show with a message to all patriots trapped behind the lines in California, New York, Boston, and Chicago. Don't give up, true lovers of America. Even as we speak, moves are being made to drive the invaders back to the land from which they came. Defeat the would-be dictators and lift the chains of tyranny from around your neck. Stay strong. Stay brave. You're not forgotten, and you're not alone. Until next time, patriots, this is Free America signing out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
All around the globe, it is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live this Wednesday, August number 29 morning in the year of our Lord 2018. Yes, it is also Intel Report Day. We're expecting Agent 0010 to call in the next hour. It is another wonderful sunny morning. It's going to be a hot one today. Somewhere around 95 with a heat index of 101. For those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda that don't know what heat index is, that it means that it's going to be so damn muggy that even though the thermometer says it's 95, it's going to feel like it's 101. And that's just really oppressive. Now, again, I'm not really complaining about it. Simply because in about 3 months or so, the temperature gauge is going to dip below the 50s permanently for the next for at least 6 months or so. So this is okay. It's a little bit hotter than I'd like, but you know what? The advantage is that there's no snow, and we've already got snow out there in the upper Midwest. And temperatures are near freezing, below 50 degrees. I know some people are saying, well, Rod, you just said yesterday that it was at 9,000 feet and above. Yeah, but cold air sinks. And that means if you're below 9,000 feet in those areas, you're colder than normal. And that's exactly what happened. You know, look, I paid attention in earth science. Reports are that lower elevations are experiencing near record cold temperatures. Now, did I tell you or did I not tell you that cold air sinks? And if it's going to snow and be frigid at 9,000 feet and above, then that air is going to sink and cause it to be colder below that elevation. So they're not getting snow very much below 9,000 feet out there, but it is colder than normal. Not to mention, Maine's Farmer's Almanac is predicting a worse than usual or average winter. Above average snowfall, below average temperatures, and longer than average winter season. You know, like the regular Farmer's Almanac kind of predicted that to happen last year. And that's just about what we got. It was definitely colder, especially in the first half of the season in December and January. And the cold came early. I mean, it was early December when that frigid air came in and stuck around for nearly a month. It was awful. I mean, we were happy just to get above 20 degrees. That's how bad it was. So, again, this is all due to global warming somehow. folks. Just to let you know, global warming causes things to get very, 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 very frigid. Evidently, wasn't there a movie like that? Ben Affleck starred in that thing. Global warming caused the ice age in the movie. Yeah, and conveniently, this ice age wiped out just about all of the United States. Yeah, it came down from Canada, and the United States had to move its capital temporarily for the next 1,000 years or whatever the prediction was to south of the border in Mexico. And Mexico, in true fashion, didn't want Americans to cross. Now, we were freezing to death, literally freezing to death, and Mexico wanted to close their border in the movie. I thought that was sweet irony. but somehow, but they moved the capital, the U.S. capital, to Tijuana. Well, why would you even have a United States if it didn't exist anymore because everything was covered in ice? I don't know. I forget the name of that stupid movie. But anyway, the reason is that because we had global warming, all the polar ice caps melted, thus cooling off the water too much and stopping, all the water jet streams. It all stopped. So the water didn't flow anymore. It didn't flow, and thus it created these super cold cells. Now, I get how some of this stuff is good for the movies. Yeah, Day After Tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you, Dom. I get how some of this stuff is really made for the movies to make it more exciting in the movie. But in order to do that, it would have to suspend science. Now, I've actually asked some scientist if this is possible. If all of the Earth's oceanic, basically jet streams, so everybody can understand what they are, jet streams are in the air, but the water jet streams, if they could be stopped at the same time. Now, all the scientists that are oceanographers and things like that, that I know, that I have posed this question to, and it was quite a few over the past few years, they've all said it's possible if you suspend all of science. Now, this is their consensus. I'm just putting all of what they've told me over the years into a consensus report here. The biggest thing that you'd have to do and ignore in order to achieve such a fact in the movie is stop the Earth's rotation. Now, I paid attention in Earth science, but we didn't get into, Earth science was at 8th and 9th grade. You didn't get into the nitty-gritty of how things work, but you got the basics. Now, the nitty-gritty of it is that there are a number of factors that cause oceanographic currents. One of those is water temperature. Another huge factor is the Earth's rotation. And another, and evidently, the whole toilet bowl swirl thing, clockwise, counterclockwise, above the equator, below, that's true because that's due to the Earth's rotation. So you have the Earth's rotation that participate, and you have gravitational effects from the moon, because the moon affects the tide, right? But it also affects ocean currents. And then you get the little bitty things called tributaries, or all the rivers around the world that also feed into the ocean, which also influence current, get the water moving. So if you suspend all of that, then you can get ocean currents coming to a complete standstill around the globe at the same time. So in other words, the Day After Tomorrow is not likely to happen. No, because if that were to happen, it would mean the end of the solar system and the end of Earth. Why is that? Because if you stop the rotation of the Earth, that's it. it is going to, it, that means its orbit has decayed, and it is going to just be engulfed by the sun. And it probably means that, you know, hey, the sun is probably going through its last moments and is going to become a red giant before it becomes a dwarf. It's going to explode and all that kind of stuff. And like, oh, okay, yeah, that's really the end. So unless, of course, you have alien interference. I suppose. You know, we could have aliens or something, you know. Come to our wonderful planet and stop everything and cause nothing but a catastrophe. But short of aliens, and I guess in that scenario, then it's definitely the end of us too, because that means they've come to conquer and take the planet or its resources or whatever. I also love that in all these movies. These wonderful, highly advanced civilizations have come. They always come invade our planet for what? Its natural resources. They strip planets of their natural resources and move on to the next one. Well, they do a damn good job of it if they can strip natural resources that fast. But in any case, because, you know, we're the bad guys, you know, stripping all the natural resources here on our planet. So I guess that is part of the push of trying to get out into space, you know, because we want to see if we can set rockets and engines and stuff on moving asteroids, like in the asteroid belt, and possibly mine asteroids in the asteroid belt for, you know, precious metals and stuff. We want to be able to utilize certain planetary types of things already up there in order to help us establish a base on the moon and Mars, right? You know, hey, if we don't need to take a lot of natural resources from the Earth's planet and send it up to the moon or to Mars, if we can actually mine it up there, then that would save a lot of cost, right? So we're looking. So I guess that's the reason for our push is because human greed. We want all the nickel, gold, and silver, and platinum, and everything else that's in the asteroid belt, and possibly on the moon. I don't even know what's on. Do we even know what type of minerals are on the moon? I don't know. I'm sure there's got to be some. I think there was a movie about that, too, where I think it was a superhero movie, futuristic superhero movie. I don't remember. Where they were mining on the moon, and they literally screwed up and shattered the moon, and it broke in half. I don't remember what movie that was. I mean, look, I'm not saying none of that stuff can't happen. It's highly unlikely. It's scientifically implausible, but you never know. In any case, good morning. We have a we have the Intel report coming up in the second hour of this program. For those of you who haven't seen the video, I know some people are asking already, well, what's going to blow our mind away? What's going to blow our mind away? Let me just say, you're going to have to be here next week. Yeah, next week is September 5th. And no lie, folks. This is not hyperbole. This is not, you know, it's a little bit of marketing tossed in, but I already know what's going to happen next week. And I'm telling you, you need to listen. And everybody you know needs to listen. Let me just give you a hint. If you know people of Latino heritage, especially American citizen Latinos, but that go by the acronym of Puerto Rican, they need to listen next week. Because I'm not over-exaggerating here. This is stuff that nobody is covering. And I'm not just talking about Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and Glenn Beck and Michael Savage and all the rest. I'm talking about not even CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, or even Fox. This is some exclusive stuff here. You are going to need to be here September 5, which is next Wednesday. Because this stuff is going to... In fact, this is so big, it's going to take 2 weeks to cover. At least 2 weeks. So you're going to definitely going to want to be here. And you're going to want to tell everybody that you know to either be here live or to download the podcast later, because it is that big. It's that important. It's that eye-popping and shocking. And enough said. Now you know. No, I don't want to hear anybody say, well, I didn't know this was happening. I'm telling you right now. It's happening. Andrew Gillum down there in Florida. Yeah, you know, I'm getting a little tired of all this. It has nothing to do with the leftists. Now, Andrew Gillum is a socialist Democrat. Bernie Sanders went down there and campaigned with him and for him. And he's the perfect person because, he believes in Medicaid for all and a $15 minimum wage. Got some news in the economy that puts all that bullshit to rest. But in any case, I'm getting tired of hearing all these first stuff. Now, Arizona evidently is going to be the first female senator from Arizona, because either the Democrat female or the Republican female that's won their primaries is going to be the next senator from Arizona. Who cares? Andrew Gillum, the Tallahassee mayor, who was the first black or African-American mayor of Tallahassee, could be the first black governor of the state of Florida. Who the F cares? I don't care. I don't care if you're male or female, if you're black, white, Latino, if you're Native American, Asian. It doesn't matter. Why the hell? You know, we're supposed to be this. Everybody on the left talks about how racist they are. Or we are as a nation. And yet they're the ones that keep perpetrating and pointing out the massive differences between us. Especially when we know in historical terms that black, supposed black political first, the vast majority of them have happened by them being Republican, not Democrat, even though Democrats often had the chance to be the first at it. So knock it off with this, the first black mayor and the first black, African-American governor of this state and the first female senator from, who cares? As if your skin color or gender is going to determine whether or not you're the best person for the job. It doesn't. And I'm not ranting simply because Andrew Gillum is a socialist Democrat. That's not a surprise, folks. It's not a surprise. I mean, anytime you get a bunch of black folk together and they want to start taking money from the white man, well, that's socialism right there. Yeah, they're going through that in South Africa. Got some South African news here that is just absolutely, completely off the chain. And if you think it's going to just stick in South Africa, let me tell you something. Yeah, we'll get into that. But South Africa, as they say here in New England, there's socialist party. I mean, that's Nelson Mandela's party, folks, is now in power in South Africa. Full, complete power and control in South Africa. And we have all these wonderful people talking about Nelson Mandela and such wonderful. Look, there are people that knew Nelson Mandela that think he was a total backhole. You know, I know the problem with Nelson Mandela in this country is that when everybody talks about Nelson Mandela, what they're really talking about is Morgan Freeman in that stupid movie. They don't realize who the real Nelson Mandela was. He got out of prison. Do you know why they put him in prison? Well, he was just a political prisoner. Do you know why he was a political prisoner in South Africa? not because he wanted more rights for black South Africans, but because he was a terrorist. You know, much like the weather underground in this country, you know, with the Bernardine Dorn and those people, Obama's friends. Yeah, that was Nelson Mandela, except in South Africa, they caught him and put him in jail. Here in the United States, I don't know, we let him off. What exactly happened to them anyway? Why didn't they go to jail? How did they end up being professors? I'm still trying to clarify that history. It's like it makes no... it doesn't make any sense. But it's like whatever they did was just swept under the rug and forgiven almost. They blew up government buildings. And most of them didn't go to jail. How is it, and a few of them became college professors. How is that possible? It's like none of the stuff that they did ever happened. But see, South Africa, they're not that forgiving. They caught Mandela and put him in jail. And of course, over the years, oh, he's a political prisoner. And the biggest mistake that the white South African government did at that particular time in order to placate blacks was to let him out. They caused their own demise. Now, I'm not saying that our apartheid was good. It was terrible. And I'm not saying that the white government should have been replaced by the black government simply because, you know, blacks outnumbered whites tremendously in South Africa. I get it. If it's going to be a democracy and people are voting, that's going to happen. But the way they did it and the reason that they did it caused their own demise. So in a way, the current situation that white South Africans find themselves in is their own fault, starting with letting out a known terrorist by the name of Nelson Mandela and then allowing him to become president or prime minister of that country. I mean, that's just history, folks. I know there are people who go, "What, you don't like your own people?" Nelson Mandela ain't my own people. I'm sorry. I don't know of any of my relatives who were terrorists. But this whole notion about always pointing out the first this, the first that, who the hell cares? Well, obviously, you Democrats and you leftists care because it's usually your news outlets that keep pushing that mantra. Now, the Miami Herald is not exactly a right-leaning rag mag. No, they're the ones that I'm getting this story out, but they're not the only newspaper that keeps saying, every place that I go to, and most of these places are left-leaning rag mags, are all saying potentially the first African-American mayor of Tallahassee could become the first African-American governor of Florida ever. Ever! Who cares? If you want a colorless society, stop pointing that out. He's just an American that happens to lean left. He's a socialist Democrat of the Bernie Sanders ilk. So Floridians have got a choice to make. Do they want a guy who wants to crush their economic growth? You know, Florida doesn't need a government mandated minimum $15 an hour wage. And folks, got economic news here. Going to go over with you that all these leftists that talk about government needs to do this, government needs to do that, it's irrelevant. And there's something that's also very scary. Did you know that the Fed, our central banks, they want inflation? Oh yeah, I got that story. It has to do with because all of this notion that there is no inflation now, it's like below 2%. It's like 1.3 or something, 1.2%. Well, evidently the Fed doesn't like it. They want inflation to go up. We'll talk about why that is, too. Because right now, everybody's enjoying no inflation. Now, prices are starting to go up a little bit because companies are realizing that people have money now. Everybody's working. And so their products and services are in demand. So their prices are going up a little bit. And the Fed is happy about that because that's going to push up inflation, which will eventually lead to, you know, a further more aggressive wage hikes, which will then cause prices to go up a little bit more and more inflation. And the Fed, that's what the Fed wants. They're very the Federal Reserve wants inflation. We'll go over why they want that to happen. And after the break, we'll also go a little bit more into some of the primary results from yesterday. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Rod Echols Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit? low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
A lot going on as far as the maneuvering is concerned in a lot of these primaries, and there's a lot happening that folks. Well, let me just, without beating around the bush, you got the lamestream media that is trying to make this election in November nothing but a referendum on Trump. That's all it is. It's a referendum on Trump. Now, if we remember correctly, let's go back to 2010, when we had the largest peacetime transfer of power ever in the history of known history of mankind. Definitely in the history of this country. When, by the time the carnage was over, some 4 years later, the Democrats were down some nearly 1,300 seats all across this country at all levels of government. Now, I love it how they come back and say, oh, yeah, we won this seat back. We won this seat. We flipped this seat. Bitch, please, you still down 1,100 seats. When you get back to even, or even close to even, when you get back to 2010 levels, then we talk about you winning stuff. But as far as, you know, it is, it's impossible not to get some of the seats back that you lost when you lose that many. I mean, seriously, you lose close to 1,300 seats. I mean, I would expect you to win some of them back eventually at some point. That's just the way it goes. I mean, that's natural. That's just human. The human condition, people lose and people win. And sometimes, you know, hey, 1 year, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the Super Bowl champions, and the next year it's the New England Patriots. That's just the way it is. So eventually, those who lost can win. But y'all still ain't got back even half of the seats that you lost. But that 2010 midterm election, according to the lamestream media, had nothing to do with Obama at all. It was not a referendum on Obama. It was, I don't even think the lamestream media even had an excuse for why they lost so many. No, we on the right know. It's because people hated they hated Obamacare. They didn't want it. And the reason why the carnage did not continue, again, 2 years later and 4 years later, the way it did then, is because the Republicans that the people put into office and elected into office didn't get rid of Obamacare. You Republicans out there, you rhinos, this is exactly why you're in the position that you're in right now. Because all of you campaign on doing something about Obamacare, like getting rid of it, and hardly any of you did. when you had the chance under President Trump to get rid of it, not just, you know, defund parts of it, but to get rid of it, y'all didn't vote for it. Now, the reason why many of y'all were elected in the first place in 2010 was to get rid of it. And you kept giving us an excuse. Well, we don't have enough numbers in Congress to get rid of it. So we gave you the numbers. Oh, we don't have the Senate to get rid of it. So we gave you the Senate. We don't have enough senators in there to get. And then you said, well, okay, so we got the House, we got the Senate. Maybe we have enough numbers in the Senate and the House, but we don't have the presidency. So we gave you that too. What was your excuse this time? So the reason why some of these places are finding themselves vulnerable to Democrat attack. That sounds real serious, too. Democrat, it's a Democrat attack. Actually, it sounds like a child's game. Anyway. For anybody who likes to invent games, come up with a game. A warlike game or a fighting game, you know, like Stratego or something, and call it Democrat Attack. You probably sell a ton of them. But the reason why you folks are finding yourselves in so much trouble, and unfortunately, because of you idiots, you rhinos, and you never Trumpers on the Republican side, you're now putting in jeopardy the president's agenda. Because people are sick and tired of you. You complain that you didn't have the numbers, so we gave you the numbers, and then we gave you the White House, and you still did not do what you promised to do. The first thing the Democrats did when they got all three, you know, houses, basically, they had the presidency, the Senate, and the House. First thing they did was implement Obamacare. And they didn't need a single Republican vote to do it. Now, you could have flipped it on them in 2017. And you didn't. You could have defunded and repealed Obamacare without a single Democrat vote. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you did get some Democrat votes to repeal the mandatory part. So you could have gotten some Democrats, but you didn't need any. You had, and somehow you couldn't get enough Republicans. That was the problem, to agree to repealing Obamacare, because you were too stupid to well, we need to repeal and replace. If we can't replace it, we shouldn't repeal. No, you should repeal. Now, first of all, you shouldn't replace at all. Get your damn hands out of my health care. But you should have just repealed it anyway, because you said it was a bad law, it was terrible, it was stifling the economy, and yet because you couldn't come up and agree with a replacement, you left it in place? What a lame-ass excuse. And frankly, many of you are retiring or in trouble and being defeated because the American people are sick and tired of you. And now you're whining, well, we could lose control of the House. Well, that's your own damn fault. We've been telling you this for months. And y'all just refuse to listen. You refuse to listen. And at the same time, now we've given, well, it was inevitable. I know we didn't think about this, or many people didn't think about this back in, you know, like 2012, you know, back during the Occupy Wall Street days. But nobody thought that those kids would grow up. Well, those millennials, they grew up, at least chronologically speaking. And now they're running for office. And some of them are winning. Most of them are not yet. But some of them are at least winning their primaries, which means at some point they're going to actually start winning the actual race. Even if they don't do it this year, you can bet in 2020 they will. So it's inevitable. Well, it's simply because they're an entire generation. So it is inevitable that they all don't have to be left-leaning millennials, by the way. I mean, I know some people are saying, well, what's the use? If it's only going to happen in 2020 or 2024 that the millennials are going to take over and we're just all going to be snowflakes, then no, that's not what I'm saying, because not every single millennial is a snowflake. There are some decent, very strong conservative millennials out there as well that are starting to run. So those are the kinds of people, you know, these are the people that are 38, 39 years old and younger. You better start supporting them as well. But they need to also pay attention to what the voter is telling them. Get rid of Obamacare. Get rid of unnecessary government regulation. Can I take a side note for a second here? You know, there has been huge discussion over the past 2 weeks especially. This election in November is going to also help determine the direction that the government takes when it comes to the internet and social media. I got to tell you, I am completely, and it's not just on Rush Limbaugh's show, the stuff that I am reading, the blogs that I read, the posts that I read on various social media outlets, I am flabbergasted. Yes, that's a $20 word. I am completely flabbergasted about how many people on the right side of the political aisle do not understand or know what net neutrality is and was. The lamestream media did its job extremely well. I am just floored by what people think net neutrality, what they think having net neutrality would prevent the likes of Twitter and Facebook from doing what they're currently doing. It would not. It had nothing to do with internet companies. Net neutrality had nothing to do with internet companies. It had everything to do with internet service providers. Now, do you want to know who started this whole net neutral crap? Believe it or not, it was the likes of Apple and Netflix. Yeah, because people were using those streaming services and they were getting very, very popular. And cable companies who were also internet providers like Time Warner and Comcast, they saw them as competition and wanted to be able to throttle them back. So in other words, you wouldn't be able to stream Netflix as easily. And so the Democrats thought, well, you know what? We're going to have this net neutrality rule where you can't do that. Why? Because Netflix wasn't considered to be a big, you know, liberal outlet back then when all this first got started. But Apple was. And Microsoft was. And they thought, well, you know what? We're gonna make sure that these bad internet service providers who spent all of this money on the infrastructure, all their own money with very, 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 very little government money, that we're gonna take control of their cable and internet lines with this net neutrality, much like the stupid news equalization or news neutrality back in the 70s and early 80s. Remember that? Yeah, that was the dumbest thing. I'm glad Reagan tossed that crap out the window. It was dumb. But they tried to bring it back in the form because they were also trying to get conservative radio off the air. They wanted to shut down and shut up people like Rush Limbaugh. This is not news, by the way. But this is all what that net neutrality crap was about. It was really about giving up or taking over all the internet lines and calling it a utility so they could regulate it. much like the government, regulates television airwaves and radio airwaves. You know, there's only, you know, you can only say certain things on the radio or on TV because the government says so. Well, they wanted to do that with the internet by regulating internet providers. It had nothing to do with what happened at Facebook or Twitter, but yet I cannot tell you how many times I have heard or I have read about people talking about we should bring back net neutrality. That wasn't what net neutrality was all about. You folks have no clue, and I am not shocked. Well, I am a little shocked, but I'm not surprised, I guess, because this is how the lamestream media played it out. They thought, well, it was going to mean fairness and equality across the internet if we had net neutrality, and the Republicans took it away. That's not what net neutrality was. It had nothing to do with free speech. And so for people to even think that government regulation is an option here is absolutely frightening. One, you don't know what net neutrality is. Two, you're actually wanting government intervention from a government who wanted to stifle your free speech in the first place. Hello? And three, yeah, I don't like what Twitter and Facebook's doing either, but what the hell happened to privately owned companies? Do you realize then, if you're going to say that a company cannot determine what its corporate culture is going to be like simply because they are a social media company, that means all companies are in danger, including the one that you own or run or work for. If you work in a company that is very, very right-leaning right now because the ownership is, well, you can kiss that goodbye. Because then government will bring in its regulation and its tentacles of regulation into all aspects of your business. Regulation, government regulation of Twitter and Facebook and the like is not the answer. You know what the answer is? The answer is for you to stop complaining. I mean, it's okay to bitch every once in a while. I still do. But to find alternatives, an alternative product or service, like you do out in the real world. Why is it that when we get into the tech world or the cyber world, it's as if we don't have a choice anymore? You know the one place that it used to be that bad in reality? You know, people complain about banks. Used to be banks. You know, everybody remember this? Well, my bank is so terrible. Why don't you move banks? Nah, that's too much of a hassle. It's not really. There's a bank. There's a competitor to your bank literally across the street. Go there. No, that's a hassle. Then shut the hell up. If you're not willing to seek out an alternative or the competition that is going to treat you better, then shut up. Do not ask the government to fight your battle for you, because you're going to end up regretting it and hating it and then wanting them to reverse it. This is how tyranny starts, folks. And it's, well, there aren't alternatives. Yes, there are alternatives. Are any of them as big as Facebook or Twitter right now? No. Does that make them less viable? No. I mean, at one point, MySpace was bigger than Facebook. And look what happened. Everybody went to Facebook. So how about now? People find an alternative to Facebook and everybody go over there just like they did with the MySpace Facebook debacle. And people get lazy. You know, I don't want to switch everything. Everybody I know is here. Well, who cares? Then shut up. Stop complaining. Evidently, the way you're talking, at some point you're going to be forced to anyway, because they're just going to ban you because of your conservative beliefs. Look, I fully expect at some point Twitter to get tired of my antics and just take down my page. But you know what? I've already got an alternative. I didn't sit back and just accept whatever Twitter wanted to throw at me. I said, oh, hell, the hell with this. I'm going to find me an alternative, Twitter. And I went out looking. I'm still on Twitter, but hey, I'm building the alternative. So when Twitter says, well, we're just going to have to let you go now, Mr. Rod. We're just going to have to let you go. And I would just say, okay, bye-bye. No damage, no harm, no foul. I realize it's your platform. You own it. I don't. And I'm not going to stand here and say that we need to regulate you. I think we should have a class action lawsuit for false advertising and false marketing on them. Yes. No, seriously. Because they marketed and advertised, and they still advertise as being an open forum to meet people, new people, discuss all kinds of ideas, bring ideas to the forefront, and that's not what they're about at all. Not what they're about at all. But yet they're still promoting themselves that way. Well, that's false advertising in my book. Now, if they were to come across and say, well, you know, hey, we really like left-leaning ideas here at this platform, fine. Then I would have nothing really to complain about it if I joined them. I mean, that would be like Salon starting a Twitter like, you know, interactive part of their website. I go over there, find out everybody's liberal and start complaining. No, I would know what they are and I'd probably stay away. Or either that or just go in to cause trouble. But that's not the way Twitter and Facebook marketed themselves. And indeed, everybody knows this because they keep changing rules that really hamper right-leaning thought. Because these rules were not in place before. In fact, sometimes they change their rules just so they can hammer one person. Alex Jones, anybody? I've gone all over this ad nauseum. Alex Jones is, you know, with his videos are within their rules. Then all of a sudden, they changed the rules, and now all of the previous videos that he made that were in compliance with previous rules now break those rules, so the new rules, so they're all removed. And then he's banned. They make the rules specifically for that. Don't doubt me on this, folks. It's already happened. So that kind of stuff, yeah, complain the hell about it. Complain about it like hell. I agree. It's false advertising and false marketing, and they should be held accountable for that, because any other company would be. But if you're just going to sit there and complain, and then demand government regulation, how about you just take your money from the bank that you hate, walk across the street, and take your money to the bank that you probably will like? It's that simple. Competition is a good thing. And yeah, there is competition in the internet space. Maybe not in the internet provider space, but the internet services like social media and stuff. There's lots of competition. You just can't be lazy about it. When there is lots of good, solid ideas and competition out there for people running for office, you have to back the one that fits you best. But at the same time, if you're looking for somebody who's going to be Santa Claus and give you stuff, well, don't be surprised when they get elected and they start making rules that you later complain about. If that's not upsetting to anybody, that should be. Intel report next.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings.